I have wanted to give this particular sermon for some time. I've been working on it. I wrote an article back in January for the Ministerial News Journal, and I wanted to give it then, but I've been working on it in the meantime, taking time to put it together. I still wanted to have more time, but I realized the more I prepared, the more information I got, and I needed to start narrowing it down. But there's a lot of information to cover, and I want to go through today and take the time to focus on this. For those who are on the webcast, we are going to be having PowerPoint, so you won't see the PowerPoint if you're tuning in on the web. So I'll try to describe everything so that you can see it in your mind and know what we're talking about. Proverbs 18, verse 13 tells us, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it's a folly and a shame to him." If you hear something from one person and you go, "I'm on board, this is what it is, I'm going to back you up 100%. If you hear one thing and come to a conclusion and you set your mind on something. If you answer a matter before you hear it, it's a folly and a shame. We don't want to come to a conclusion if we haven't heard the whole matter. Now, this is a basic proverb. You've probably heard it before. The mistake that many people make is judge first and ask questions later. Let's come to a judgment, and then if I ask questions, I can maybe clear it up, but I'm going to judge first and ask questions later. Proverbs 18, verse 17 tells us, "The first one to plead his cause seems right, until his neighbor comes and examines him, and then it may not seem right." But the first one to plead his cause, first one to come and tell you something, they can seem right. Oh yeah, from that person's perspective, that's what happened. I totally see it. Until the neighbor comes and he goes, "Well, here's my perspective and here's how I saw it." And you go, "Oh, well, that's different than what I heard." Sometimes we don't have all the facts, or we only have one person's perspective on something, or their perspective of a situation. And we can establish our own perception of what's taking place off of only a little bit of information. And we get a different perspective when we hear a second person. Why would we get a different perspective? Well, they have their own perspective. Each person has a unique perspective of how they look at things. And they may have seen things from a different view. Now, physically seeing it with their eyes from a different view, or they may have viewed it from a different mental perspective. But we each have a different perspective, physically and sometimes even spiritually. In fact, God tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15. Return to Deuteronomy chapter 19 verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15. He says, "One witness shall not rise up against a man concerning any iniquity or sin that he commits." He said, you can't have somebody come against you with one witness. "By the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter will be established." Get several different perspectives. And he said, then a matter can be established. That's covered in, carried over into the New Testament in Matthew chapter 18, where it says there's a certain steps that you go through. You go to your brother alone, then you take two or three with you. Not two or three people to support you, two or three to sit down and listen to the discussion, or if they were witness to it, then have them come. But you're not bringing two or three to gang up on the one. You're bringing witnesses to witness from that point what's taking place, or if they were witness to a situation, to have them there. But in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be established. So you can't just bring one person saying, they did this, and the person says, well, I didn't. You have two different words. But when you bring two or three witnesses into the situation, it changes. It goes on in Deuteronomy 19 and verse 18. "The judges shall make careful inquiry." They will ask questions. They will dig in. "And indeed, if the witness is a false witness, who has testified falsely against his neighbor, then you shall do to him as he thought he would have done to his brother, and you shall put away the evil from among you. So if a person brings a false witness, he says, no, if it's found out that they were bringing a false witness, whatever they were trying to bring against their brother is going to be their penalty. If the world lived by that today, we'd have a much different society, a different kind of justice system. But why do we not all see things in the same way? If we were all firsthand witnesses to something, shouldn't we all agree on a matter? It's a question I want you to think about, because all of us could see the same thing. If I said something and did something right now, we probably wouldn't have a 100% consensus. Everybody heard or saw the same thing. How is it that two people can see or hear the same event and view it differently? How do perception and perspective affect one another? That's what I want to focus on today, perception and perspective. God told ancient Israel through Moses, the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive. He said, you don't have a heart of perception and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. He was telling them, you have not been given a heart that can perceive, to take a situation, to see, to take what you've seen, take what you've experienced, and be able to put it together. So this adds something to the picture. We have our perspective, we have the perspective of witnesses, and we have God's perspective. And God says, you have not been given my perspective. They witnessed firsthand with their eyes miracles and wonders, but they still couldn't see what God was showing them. They did not have the vision. They didn't have the understanding to see where God was leading them. According to Strong's exhaustive concordance, the word perceive here includes descriptive words to know, to acknowledge, to be aware, to discern, to understand. The children of Israel were not given understanding and discernment to see what God did for them, nor what He was going to do for them in the future. So when he said they have not been given a heart to perceive, they haven't been given a heart to acknowledge, to take the facts and come up with a conclusion. They didn't have the heart to understand or to discern. Sometimes we don't see things in the right perspective until our eyes are opened. And we can think, well, I have my perspective. My perspective is right. I saw it firsthand. But is it right? How does that happen, that each of us can see something, two people seeing the same thing but have a different perspective? And what's the difference between perception and perspective? I want to read from Six Steps to Untangle Reality and Perception from Live Bold and Bloom. It says, we often confuse perception with reality. If we perceive something as a certain way, that becomes our reality. That's the way it is, because we perceive it that way. The way I see it is the way it is. The article goes on, that is, we mistake how we understand things for the way that they really are. Our thoughts and feelings seem real to us, so we conclude that they must be true. What feels real, seems real, it's true. I'm backed up the way I perceive things. But she says, what if they weren't, including even our most deeply held ideas and beliefs about ourselves, about others, and about the world? What if our perception of things was not correct? In Pedia.com, in an article, Difference Between Perception and Perspective, August 9th, 2016, the author just gives the name Hassa, H-A-S-A, says, perception and perspective are two words that deal with the way that we perceive and understand and interpret things. Although these two words sound and look similar, they should not be used interchangeably. You can't say, well, that's your perception or that's your perspective and mean the same thing. Perception basically refers to the way that we think or understand someone or something. The way that we think about or understand someone or understand something. And maybe how we label, because the world is into labeling, putting names on. How we see someone or how we label someone. Perspective is the way we regard something or our point of view. This is the main difference between perception and perspective. The same scene can be interpreted differently by different individuals with different perspectives and perceptions. In other words, perception and perspective might differ according to different individuals. And you can say, no, everybody should have the same perspective. Everybody should see things the same way. If we did, that would be kind of a hard group of people or society to live in. Everybody saw everything the same way. There's no variance, there's no color. Everybody just sees things exactly the same. So think about the Gospels. In the Gospels, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They recorded what they saw. And we can go through in those four books and see the things that were taking place. They were recording from their perspective what they saw and how it affected them. But each one of them have a little bit different writing. Some of them are the same in some areas, and some of them vary in some of the areas. But each wrote from their own perspective, and God inspired all four of them. And when we put those four different perspectives together, it gives us the ability to perceive what God inspired them to write. We can put the four together and go, okay, the full picture is coming together now because I can see it from four different individuals and four different perspectives. And it fills in some of the gaps. Some of the Gospels fill in other of the Gospel writings. So we, as by definition, develop the way we regard something or the point of view. So we gain a perception because we've developed a way of regarding it, a way of looking at it. That, oh, I'm not just going to go, well, I think Matthew was right in the way that he wrote it. Well, you can't leave out the other perspectives either. And God gave us four different perspectives in the Gospels and what was inspired in the Gospels to use. He inspired all four of them. Now, don't get me wrong. It takes God's Holy Spirit to truly see what's written. You can't, from the world, without the Spirit of God opening your mind, go, okay, I'm going to look at all four Gospels. I know exactly what God was trying to say. That comes from God's opening our minds and allowing us to understand. So even though our perspectives were different, these perspectives that were given to us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were different, and Matthew wrote from the perspective, he was a tax collector. Luke wrote from the perspective of a physician. He had a different mindset, a different way of thinking. John was a fisherman. He had a different way of looking at things. But what God allowed them to understand and record, when we put it together, we see, oh, there's not a discrepancy. It's just filling in the gaps or giving us a different way that an individual heard something. I hope this message will leave a favorable impression on how you view things, how you develop your way of thinking, or to at least examine your way of thinking and going, what do I use as my perspective? And is my perspective always right? Or is my perception always right? It gives us a different way of viewing things. Sadly, even with God's people, people can have wrong or skewed perspectives. And therefore, they gain a different perception of how things are. Now, if you go on the internet, if you go on Facebook today, you will read a huge variance in perspectives of what life was like in Worldwide Church of God. It was evil. They were oppressive. It was the most. It was a cult. To those were the best days of my life. Different variation of perspectives. Give you an example of even individuals in the church having different perspectives. This happened decades ago. A minister was at the Feast of Tabernacles, and he was called to take care of a situation. He was told that a group of boys, underage, had gone into a bar of ill repute. The pastor went down to get the boys out. Pastor goes in to this topless bar to get the boys. A member sees the pastor going into this bar. And the member goes to the administration the next morning and says, we have a problem. There's a pastor who's going to this particular bar. I saw him go in. I saw it with my own eyes. I know what happened. This needs to be dealt with. He needs to be reprimanded. Okay, so did she have the right perspective? She saw it with her own eyes, but was what she saw the right perception? Did she gain the right perception from it? She had her own perspective, but she didn't have the facts. She didn't have the information from others what was taking place. But she knew what she saw. I know what I saw. You can't convince me otherwise. But it was wrong. I'm going to read from How Are They Different? Perspective is the way, angle, or side you look from. It's your point of view. If you're sitting on the front row, if you're sitting on the back row, you have a different perspective, a different view. And that's why some, when they tune into the webcast and then they see us in person, they go, oh, I thought you were much taller. I thought you were shorter. Yeah, it changes perspective because they're looking at it on their TV screen or on a phone. But each of us have a different perspective. Perception is your understanding. How you process all that information, that is your perception. Interpretation of people, situations, and the world, and it's your mental impression. It's what is left in your mind. What am I left with after my perspective, after I see things? For example, is the cup half empty or is it half full? Now, this doesn't just have to do with personality, because, somebody who's a pessimist is going to say it's half empty, or somebody who's an optimist is going to say it's full. That's not always the case. But the cup is at half. Would you say it's half empty or half full? If you're thinking half empty, and somebody says, did you see that cup today? Oh, yeah, it was half empty. Well, no, I saw one that was half full. You might have two different perspectives of looking at the same situation. We see things differently, even though we're looking at the same thing. It may appear to us differently. Different viewpoints, both of them are right. It is half empty, and it is half full. But it may change the perception, how people think about it, what impression it leaves with them. Now, again, an optimist may say, no, you have to look at it as being half full. It can be finished. Or a pessimist may say, no, it's empty and it's going to go less. It's going to dry out. It's going to go less into the cup. And so you'll never end up with more in the cup. But that is two different perspectives of the same situation. How it affects us, what it does to our minds and our thinking is perception. And perceptions can change our motivation. If we change our perception, it changes the way we look at things. It can change our motivation, our drive, our view of things. It can even change relationships because we changed our perception. Now, if we stay solidly with, nope, I have a perception. I have this in my mind. I know what's going on. I will not change from it. It may prevent us from being able to get all the information or get all the facts. I want to share with you a few more examples of people looking at the same thing from a different perspective. This is on perspective. One's on the island yelling, boat! And the other one's on a boat yelling, land! They are looking at the same situation, and one is so happy to see land, he can get on land and stand. The other one is so happy, a boat, I've been saved. Two different perspectives, one that's been on the boat for probably days and the other one sitting on an island for who knows how long. But different perspectives of looking at the same situation. One wanted land, one wanted a boat. So these are two different perspectives of the same situation. Perspective and perception. Perception, how your brain interprets an image or an event. So your perception, you see something, you have your angle, you're looking at it, how your brain interprets that. Now I'm going to share with you some photographs, and I wish I could share those online with you. I didn't have the time because there's quite a few I want to go through and show you to get the copyright for them, but I will describe them as we go through. Perspective is a point of view, and it should be of, of the way you interpret the meaning of an image or event. Your perspective comes from your beliefs and your values, and it influences how you see things. Your perspective influences your perception. Different people see different things in different ways, which we've already acknowledged and looked at a couple of slides. You've probably seen this. I remember seeing this particular next slide as a teenager. What do you see? Do you see an old woman, or do you see a very young woman? Both pictures are there. You have the old woman, you have a big nose, here's her mouth, here's her chin, her hair, an old woman with a hood on top of her head. Young woman with her head turned sideways, here's her ear, here's her nose and eyelash, here's her chin and the edge of her jaw, and this is a necklace. Two different ways of looking at the same picture. One sees an old woman, one sees a young woman. Now, if you were witness to a crime scene and you saw this, from one angle you might go, oh, it was a young woman, she ran off, or no, it was an older woman. How could you see a young woman? Because of perspective or angles. And again, looking at this, it says, what do you see? By shifting your perspective, you might see an older woman or a younger woman. Two different ways of looking at the same things. If everyone sees people, situations, and the world differently, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is what we read or see true? Now, in today's society, we have false news, false information. And people hear it on the news, and I know exactly what's going on. Well, until the neighbor news comes and gives their perspective, or you go back and forth with different newscasters or news stations, and you find different news. But is what we see, is what we hear, is what we read true? You can read a lot of information that's simply not true. People say, well, I read it on Facebook. I Googled it. I saw it on Wikipedia. Is what we read or see true? Are there any actual facts? What factors shape our perceptions of the whole world? Now, with this, you might see a glass or a veil. You see how it forms, or you might see two faces looking at each other. Some people see different things within those images. But it's a different way of looking at things. And again, it's something that is important to understand in what our mind is looking at. As we take in information, as we formulate things, we can develop perceptions from our own personal history, from things that have happened to us in the past, things we've gone through, things that we have experienced. And we may have formed a way of thinking and perceiving things, but sadly, sometimes even what we do and what we personally have experienced may give us a wrong perception, wrong view of things. Where do we get our perspective? And is it perspective that gives us our perception, or is it the other way around? And why is it important to know? How many of you are familiar with street art or chalk art? If you're not, you will be after this. So I'm going to show you a few photos. It's interesting. When I was growing up, people would spray paint things on the walls, and it was graffiti. Now there's chalk on the sidewalks, and it's art. But it actually is very beautiful sometimes, and it's interesting to see, and people enjoy the ability to see certain things. For instance, here's a sidewalk, and it looks like there's a giant hole in it, and this person on the bicycle is riding over a board that isn't there. It's chalk. And it looks like they're about ready to fall into a giant crevice or hole. You see the water on one side, and you see the water even flowing inside the hole. From this perspective, it looks like, wow, she's pretty dangerous, and she's going to ride across that board. So you could look at that and say, well, I saw the image. I know what I saw. I know what took place. But is it real? The artist is able to draw things in a way that seems real, almost three-dimensional. You see this boy. boy on a wooden bridge. Doesn't really exist. He's not walking on a bridge. Although from the camera angle and the perspective, very well done. It gives you the perception or the perspective that he's walking across a hole. You might, if you didn't know about chalk art and you see these photos, you might, well, you say, well, it doesn't look quite real, but it's different. It's unique. The perspective we have affects the way that we look at things. I want to look at these two particular words, and I want you to think about these terms in your relationship skills. Because if we talk about our perspective, each one of us having a different perspective, if you're in a relationship, or whether it be friends, whether it be spouse, whether it be significant other, your interest, any relationship or relationship with people you work with or at school, we all have our own perspectives. We have our own perspectives about events that take place. That's why it's interesting sometimes you watch news events and they're interviewing people and you start hearing different stories. Oh no, this is what happened. And then you hear somebody else go, well, I saw this. Oh, well, we didn't see that. We didn't know about that. It's a different perspective. Arguments, trials, sicknesses, each of us have a perspective of what's taking place or what an individual or ourselves are going through. What's going on in your life can affect your view of life. Or what has happened in your past can affect how you perceive things and may even skew your perspective. Even our childhood, traumatic events, or something similar can affect the way we look at things. It can affect the way we perceive things. Now, we can sometimes be deceived in our way of thinking, can't we? I know at times where I thought something, I thought for sure I knew what was taking place, and later I found out, oh, I was wrong. I don't know how I could be wrong because I knew what I saw, but I was wrong. And again, it's something where we have to be able to admit, okay, I had, from my perspective, I had my conclusion, but my perception was wrong. Let me give you an example of a man I helped in church when I was a teenager. He was deaf, and I would sit next to him during services and take notes for him. And that was interesting in itself because during services, he would talk very loudly. So as a teenager here, I'm shrinking down in my seat. But he would turn to me and he's like, what verse did he say? And he'd yell it out. And everybody stops and looks at him. I'm like, write it down real quick. Or a joke would be told and everybody's laughing and I write the joke down. Everybody stops laughing and he reads the joke and starts laughing during services. So it was a unique opportunity, but I took notes for him as a teenager. But he would bring articles to church and show me particular articles. And he was very concerned about what he was reading. These articles were from the National Enquirer. And there's all kinds of odd, exotic things taking place. But to him, this is a newspaper. This is actually what's going on. Of course, it was alien invasions. It was different things. I had to keep explaining, that's not real. And we wrote back and forth to each other because he couldn't hear anything. He could read lips very little. But I had to explain to him what he was reading is not real. Just like we have to explain sometimes, what you're watching on the news is not real. Because it's skewed. It's changed. But his perspective was that the newspaper was factual. And he established his perception that what he was reading was real. Just as the world, when we think about a mind without the Spirit of God, looks at the Word of God and they come up with their own conclusion. To them, it's real. I read it. I know what it means. This is what I've been told. And so this is my perspective of looking at it. And I've developed my perception of life based on those things. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14. It's another memory verse and one that we should be familiar with. It's in 14 verse 12. It's also in chapter 16 and verse 25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof is the way of death. There's a way that seems right. And the world looks at it and they go, nope, Sunday, you know, everybody should go to church on Sunday. Oh, you go on Saturday? Oh, you're a sect. You don't understand the Bible. That's all been done away. They have a perception of things in their mind, and it seems right. He said, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Jeremiah put it this way. He said, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. Man doesn't have the right perspective and the right perception of things. The way of man is not within himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. He says, O Lord, correct me, but with justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. He said, I want you to correct me. I want you to correct the way I view things, the way I view life. And again, God does that for us through that Spirit. But our personal perspective of things may be causing us an inability to see things as they really are. In our relationships, in our job, in church, our own established perspective may keep us from seeing things as they really are. The results may be in wrong choices. It may be in self-deception, wrong thought patterns. You know, we have a perception of the way things are, and it takes us down a certain path that had we known more, had we researched more, had we had the Spirit of God guiding us and we're following the direction that God's Spirit leads, it would take us in a different path. I want to look at human perspective versus God's perspective or godly perspective. When God's Spirit is added into the picture, our perspective and our perceptions of life should change. We don't think the same. Paul says you rise and you walk in a newness of life because you don't think the way that you did before. It should change. It should be something that is not the same as it was before. So the Spirit of God changes our perceptions and it changes our perspective. We look at things differently. When you have an understanding of the future and God reveals prophecy, reveals the coming kingdom of God, reveals the return of Jesus Christ, reveals the purpose for mankind of why we're here on the earth, it changes the way we live our lives now because of a different perspective. We can see the future. It's clear to us. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God says, you don't think like me. But when we have the Spirit of God, that is the power of God, it allows Jesus Christ to live his life in us. We do think like him, and we begin becoming like him. But God thinks differently, and with that Spirit given to us, we should too. So God gives us, through his Spirit, his own perspective. We begin to see things from God's perspective. And it changes the way we look at ourselves, changes the way we think about things. It changes our perception of things. Until we discovered the Sabbath and the holy days and the plan of God, we had a perception, oh, we go to heaven, we float around, we look at the face of Jesus, or we go to hell and we're burning in everlasting fire. And that's the way it is. Everybody knows that. That's the perception. But it changes when God opens our minds to his truth. And to be able to see things like that is a gift. God gives us that special gift of having his perspective. Matthew 13, verse 16 says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, to hear what you hear and did not hear it. He said, I have given you something. You see differently than you did before. Luke's account is different. because it's written from his perspective. And there were a couple differences in looking at this even in the Gospels. Luke's account says, he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings. So Matthew wrote, many prophets and righteous men. And Luke says, many prophets and kings. Oh, see, there's discrepancies in the Bible. Or you could say, whatever he's making, the point is, there are people and people in high positions and prophets, men of God, who wanted to see what we see and couldn't see it. They said they desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. So whether it be prophets, righteous men, kings, the point is still brought across. They can't see it, but you can, and your eyes have been opened. It gives us the ability to see things in a totally different way. Here we have a chalk art photo of a snail climbing onto a bench. And it looks pretty realistic from the perspective that we're looking at. So we see this snail, and it's climbing onto the bench. But what happens when our perspective changes? When we get somewhere else and we see this from a different angle, we realize that it's chalk, and that even one of the antennas is the use of a silver pole that's there, and he chalks out another pole, or another antenna, rather. But you can see that the snail is just a chalk drawing on the sidewalk. But from one angle, from one perspective, it looks real. Looks like it's climbing up on the bench, and it's actually just chalk on the ground. Two different perspectives, but it changes. You go, okay, if you came from one side of the street, you'd say, what is that supposed to be? The other side, you go, oh, wow, that looks like a snail climbing up on the bench. Makes it very clear. Perspectives change, and we can change our perspective. We don't always have to look at things in the same way. We can look at it from a different perspective. And when doing that, we think the way others might think. Now, the good part is you can do this before a situation arises. You may have in your mind, okay, from my perspective, this is what's taking place. But then start asking yourself questions, getting more information before you come to a perception, this is how it is. Now, that could happen in your relationships, it could happen in the congregation, but we don't want our perception of things to come only from one perspective. Because when we look at things in a different way, perspective changes. Our perspective, our direction, and way of looking at things change. We have to have a new perspective and look at things differently to be able to change the perception. Here's another one. It says, make poverty history. It's a globe. You see a globe of the earth with a band around it and a man standing on the top of it. I think he's the artist, but it may be somebody just different getting pictures. But it says, make poverty history, and you see the earth. And, of course, with the shadowing, it looks three-dimensional. It also is interesting to see the artist's perspective, because if you look closely, that's Africa and Europe above it, where somebody from the United States probably would have drawn the United States as the center of the globe. This was actually, I believe it was taken in London or chalked out on the sidewalk in London. But you have Europe and Africa and Europe shown there. And I found that interesting just looking at it myself, looking at the art and going, wait a minute, that's not the United States. Where is this taken? And then I did a little bit of digging and found out that it was actually in Europe. But it's a perspective. And you see the man standing on top of the globe. The globe looks like it's round. When you look at the globe from a different angle and we adjust our viewpoint, you realize the globe's not round. It's elongated. And from a different angle, you go, that doesn't look like a globe. It doesn't look like anything I'd stop and get my picture next to. but from one angle it is. And it changes your perception of things, changes the way you look at it, and changes your conclusions. It's made to look real, and it's made to seem right. If we can look at physical things and realize, oh, what I was looking at was not really what I thought I was seeing physically, what can we do mentally and spiritually when we consider things that are taking place in our life? When we consider relationships, when we consider other things, and I will touch on a few other things that perspective is changed by. But it almost looks three-dimensional in this picture. But when you bring in the facts and you bring in logic, it changes how we view it. And we realize, oh, it looks flat, it doesn't look three-dimensional, and the earth is elongated, it doesn't even look like the earth. What do things look like from a different perspective? Now, here we have a perspective of a pool in the middle of the sidewalk. You see the guy in a swimsuit. It looks like he's dipping his leg into the pool just because of the way the chalk is put out. And, of course, the artist mixed in a couple of things. You've got a Coke bottle and a glass here, but you also have chalked in sandals on the side. But it looks three-dimensional and looks like the man is stepping into the pool. Looks like maybe Marilyn Monroe. But stepping into the pool, and you see the woman with her leg sticking out of the pool. But are we being deceived, and are we deceiving ourselves by perspective? Do we blindly accept what we believe, or do we accept what we have proved? And there's a difference between believing things and proving things. Over the years, individuals have proved things and will not veer from it. Others believe things or had emotional things and said, I will not move from it because I have always felt this way. Is it true? Is it provable? Is it fact? So we look at this picture and we realize sometimes we can view things in a different way. This is actually what the chalk looks like. I was surprised by this one because the woman's leg actually comes out of the pool by about 25 feet. From the other perspective, it looks like she's sticking her leg up in the air and that's it. From this angle, that's not a very good photo. Now, I'm going to get my picture taken with this chalk art and people would probably say, what is it? Because it's not the same perspective. It's the opposite angle, opposite perspective, and even up and down, how it affects our perspective of this. It changes. I'm going to look at some ways that perception and perspective affect us. First, we formulate decisions in our mind based on input. Now, input is very different. If you have somebody who is blind, their input is going to be by their hearing, by their touch, by their feel. If you have somebody who has sight, many times we trust our sight. I know what I saw, just like we thought he was getting into a pool, looked like he was getting into a pool, but nothing of the sort. But we formulate our decisions. What choices do we make in life from decisions we've made based on one single perspective? Now, choices are about discerning. And, of course, with God's Holy Spirit, that should be different for us. With God's Spirit, we should discern things differently, have the ability to see things in a little bit different way. This summer at camp, we're focusing on discernment. And it should be something that is very interesting for our campers. We're going to come back and we'll be able to share that in local congregations as well. But being able to see that what we perceive may be different. What we have in our minds, the way we view things. And we see that even with our own children. As they get older, they start to look at things differently. They look at life differently. For most, as little children, mom and dad have all the money in the world. We can do whatever we want to. I have everything I want. All of my needs are taken care of. And then you grow up and you go to college and move out on your own and realize it's hard to live alone. It's expensive to live alone. It's expensive to go to school. It's expensive to have your own car and all these things. Your perspective of things changes. it's like, oh, life doesn't just come as easy as it did when I was 6 years old, 7 years old. But we change our perception and our perspective of things as we get older. But it changes with the Spirit of God as well. The more information and the addition of other perspectives, and that's why iron sharpens iron, because we look at it from different ways, look at it from different angles. It changes our view. And then we have to look at feelings versus logic. I spoke on that last year, how feelings and emotions versus logical thinking. And there's two different ways of thinking. How does each affect us? How do our feelings and emotions affect how we look at things that are logical? And how does logic and facts play into emotions? Emotions can cause us not to see things logically or true. We get a perception, we get a way that we think things are, and it may not be true because of our emotions. Our emotions may have veered us off in a different direction, or we say, nope, my emotions are real. What I feel is true. Thinking logically might give you the right knowledge, might give you the right information. Individuals have had that. They've proved everything. They have it, in fact, gone through, and they say, logically, this makes sense. But if they don't have any emotion with it, then they're missing something as well. There has to be a balance of both. Now, emotion, if you don't have emotion, what's driving you? If you don't have an impact on your life and a motivation, something that pushes you forward, something that causes you to act on that knowledge, then it affects us as well. We have to have both. But our perception of things needs to come from logic and truth, and then emotion can then begin to play in helping us have a better perception. What is our basis for perception? What about in relationships or within the church? Do we think we know the motivations of other people? We can see each other on the Sabbath, we can think about one another, and we can talk to one another, and you say, well, based on years of being with that person, here's my perception of the way they are, or this is my perspective of how they think, what they're going to do, what their choices would be. I know what motivates them. That's a dangerous thing, because sometimes people don't even know themselves what's motivating them. But for us to think, I know their thoughts. You know, it's God that knows the thoughts, and it's the Spirit of God that searches the thoughts and the deep things of man, deep things of God. But we don't want to get to the point where we think we know somebody's motivation. We can ask ourselves, is that something I'm assuming, or is it something that's proven? Because we assume a lot, and assumptions can cause us to perceive things in a different way. It goes back to answering a matter before we hear it. To say, well, I haven't sat down with this person. I haven't asked them if that's their motivation. I'm just assuming. So you're answering a matter before you've heard it. Another way it can affect us is coming to a firm belief concerning doctrine. Wait a minute. How can perspective and perception affect how we learn what doctrine is? One is feeling. People do things because it seems right. Now, we saw, you know, God said, there's a way of man that seems right, but the ends are over the ways of death. Or the idea, if it feels good, do it. People joined the church years ago and were excited. They thought it was fun. They were excited about what they were learning. But it was feeling, and it felt right, and people came because it felt right. Now, we also had all different kinds of people and different perspectives of individuals coming to the church. We had individuals that came into the church because they thought it was a cult, and they wanted to be a part of a cult. They wanted to be part of something different. They said, that group of people is so different than everybody else, I want to be a part of something different. And they joined the church, or became a part of the organization. Again, we know that the church is those that God opens up their minds through His Spirit, and they're called out. But individuals that came because of how they felt or emotions. I know how it moved me to hear something for the first time. When I learned about the Sabbath, it moved me. And so they latch on to what moved them emotionally. And some continue to look for emotional responses the rest of their life. And if they don't get those emotional responses, they feel, I haven't grown, I haven't developed because I haven't been moved. I haven't had these emotions like I had when I was younger. Do we form our beliefs on how something makes us feel, or do we step back and logically and methodically prove it through good judgment? That's why some people have to be very careful when they get wrapped up into praise worship or gospel music worship, because it makes them feel good. They're moved by it, but is it good? Is it right? They fail to see that the words can often be deceptive and misleading. They fail to see that they're being moved a certain direction. And there is a movement. They're not only emotionally moved, but it's moving to a certain thought pattern. But it may not be doctrinally correct. This slide says, whatever we plant in our subconscious mind and nourish with repetition and emotion will one day become a reality. By Earl Nightingale. It says, if we do something and submit ourselves to a certain thought pattern, we plant it in the subconscious mind, we nourish it with repetition, we keep getting into that, we keep thinking, this isn't going to affect me. He said, you add emotion to that and one day it's going to become reality. Your thoughts are going to be what you're taking in. And again, it does affect us. It does affect how we think and what we think about. And again, it's a dangerous if we're loading our minds with that kind of music and that kind of thinking and that kind of doctrine on a repetitive basis and just taking it in. Now, to listen through and find songs that actually are doctrinally correct and to listen to those, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're listening to wrong doctrinal music, it's the same as listening to wrong doctrinal sermons. Many people wouldn't submit themselves to a Sunday preacher and go, well, he's really good. I listen to him every morning. I'm starting to believe everything he says. Most people go, well, that's wrong. But with music, they go, well, that's not quite the same. It's music. It's words put to music, and so it's different. But it still can have an effect on a person's perception, a person's perspective of the way they look at things. And it begins to change. And as it says here, with repetition and emotion, it can become a reality. You begin to think like that on a regular basis. Here's another emotional thinking. The church has always taught whatever. Because I've heard all different kinds of things. The church has always taught this. I've had two long-term members or long-time members from the same congregation who use never and always about the same subject. They said, the church has always taught this. And the other person says, the church has never taught that. Well, which is it? From one's perspective, no, you can't believe it because it's never been taught. The other says, no, it's always been taught. You have to believe it. You have to hold on to it. Now, this person says, I'm holding on to it. It was always taught this. They may get into the frame of mind going, I'm the only one that believes it. I'm the only one that's holding on to it. And the other one's going, but that's not truth, and why would you want to hold on to it? Two different perspectives, and it could be about the same thing. Now, I have mentioned here, I've been had the opportunity of being in multiple congregations all around the United States. Texas, Missouri, Arkansas, California, several places in Texas and several places in Arizona. But to be in different congregations, and different pastors spoke about different things. And some of them, I would go, okay, I'm going to take that with a grain of salt. Hopefully you don't do that with my sermons every week. But to take things and go, okay, is it true? Have you gone back and proved it? Or did you just take and go, the church always taught it? I remember hearing, that's another one, I remember hearing this. And one particular person said, I remember hearing, and I was always taught, basically, the one saved, always saved. And I go, you've got to be kidding. And they said, well, my minister. And I said, well, There's a lot of ministers who taught things that aren't here today. What does the Bible say? What does God's Word say? It doesn't teach once saved, always saved. But they were convinced because of what they heard. And they were moved by it and hold on to that perspective because of what they heard or what they perceived, but didn't prove it. If they did prove it, guess what? It's still true today. And a lot of the things that we teach today, the basic fundamentals are the same teachings that we had years ago. We still believe it because it's still from God's Word, not just based on emotion or feeling. I'm going to give you another perspective. And I've talked about this here before. It's a story that I enjoy. When Elijah was surrounded by armies and they were worried about what was going to take place, he based his perspective or his outlook on faith. It doesn't say that he was fearful and trembling. The other man built of what he could physically see. And he goes, "We're surrounded. What are we going to do?" He had physical perceptions. When God opens his eyes and he sees the angels all the way around them on horses, it changed his perspective. Oh, I didn't know that that was here. I didn't know God was here. And whether we know as a fact, whether we physically see it with our eyes or whether we understand it, have proved it, and by faith know that God is there, it can change the way we view things. Last night we had the Friday Night Live about what do you fear? People fear all kinds of things. But if you have a perspective that God is there, and if you're doing things the way God says, fear should be removed. And those things are eventually dissipated. Here's another slide. Hopefully you can identify what that is. It's an elephant. I even wrote it on there. It's an elephant. We can see it with our eyes. Now, somebody who's blind would not be able to see in the same way. I want to read from an article. This is from Life, Hope, and Truth, from the journeys. If you've gone on and had the opportunity to look at the different journeys, and you go through sessions on each journey, and it takes you through different ways of thinking. Journey number 2 is the problem of evil, where evil comes from and why evil is here. It's a good thing if you want to sign up for those, and they send you a daily part to read, and you do it as part of these journeys. In the journeys, it says, there's a wonderful old Indian story about 6 blind men who are tasked with describing an elephant. Together, they surround the elephant, each of them reaching out and touching the animal. The man touching the elephant's leg is certain that the elephant is like a pillar. If you were blind and you went up and you're like, oh, it's a pillar. Big, round, hard leg. The elephant is like a pillar. The man touching the tail is sure that the elephant is like a rope. The man touching the trunk is convinced that the elephant must be like a tree branch, and so on. Each man believing himself to be in possession of all the facts. If you walk up, grab an elephant by whatever part you are behind, the tail, the leg, the trunk, an ear, you may go, oh, an elephant is this giant floppy thing. That's part of the elephant. Says they weren't, of course, and anyone with eyes can see that an elephant is a combination of all these features, but the point of the story is to remind us of our limited perceptions. If you were blind and you only touched one part of an elephant, you would have a perception of what an elephant was. They were limited by their perceptions. It says, we are the blind men, and we're wrong about the elephant. That complicates things. Not only are we unable to see the bigger picture from our vantage point, but the bigger picture looks absolutely foolish to us. If you came up on the chalk art of the globe and it's all stretched out, you'd go, well, the artist didn't do a very good job. He didn't even make it round. But from the other perception, the artist knew what he was doing. So it may change the way we view things. The bigger picture looks absolutely foolish to us. From our flawed perspective, parts of God's way of life make no sense to us. And that's why if you go to share it with your family or share it with your friends and you go, look what I've discovered. This is God's way of life. And they're looking at you going, no, but nobody does that. That's not God's way of life. Everybody knows what God's way of life is like. It says, in many instances, God prescribes a course of action that flies in the face of human reasoning. Many believing in a heaven and hell. You bring them something different and they go, why would he bring a kingdom to the earth? We're all going to heaven. We're going to have streets of gold. We're going to have all these wonderful things in heaven. It says it flies in the face of human reasoning. Things like turning the other cheek, even when our instinct is to get even. Or keeping the Sabbath, even when we don't feel that we have time for it. Spending a day without food or water, even when it's hard to see what we could possibly gain from it. Sin, on the other hand, often looks completely logical. Because sin is all around us, we see the effects of it regularly. It says it makes sense. Knowing what we know about the elephant, sin can easily appear to be the only reasonable course of action. If I need more money and I can't find a job, who's going to blame me for stealing? If my neighbor has more than me, what right does he have to hold on to his wealth? If the truth would only make people uncomfortable, what's the harm in a little white lie? There's always rationale, always explanation, always justification. Again, sin, or that way of life, can seem logical, can seem reasonable. I want to read an article by Bruce Gore, Perceptions and Misperceptions of the Messiah and His Message. It's a good article on how the world had their perspective of the role of Jesus Christ, of what he did, what his purpose was on the earth, and of him being the Messiah, and the message that he brought. Because people today don't carry that message. They don't talk about the kingdom of God in the same way that we do. It's about Christ himself. He says, perceptions and reality are not always the same. This is especially important when considering God and his truth. And again, the reason I bring up these two ideas or two ways of looking at things, the perception and perspective, is because they're not always the same. And it can affect every single part of our life, including doctrine, how we think about doctrine, how doctrine moves us, what it motivates us to do. It says, the basis of perception. The world around often has an influence on our beliefs, often without even realizing it. Renowned psychologist Jerome S. Bruner, who founded the New Look School of Psychology, showed that people's perceptions of objects and events are often influenced by unseen social and cultural conditions. From the Washington Post, June 7th, 2016. People live their lives and they make decisions based on their perceptions of things. Not on fact, not on truth, but on perceptions. Those perceptions or viewpoints may or may not be accurate. Children walking outside on a moonlit night can feel as if the moon is following or moving along with them. I don't know if you've ever done that. You walked and it's like, every time I walk, the moon looks like it's moving with me. It's staying with me. It says, the end of a rainbow can appear to be just a short distance away. And as you drive and you drive, you realize that's a facade as well. We're familiar with the expression, seeing things through rose-colored glasses. Anger, fear, being in love can affect our perceptions of people or events. It can change the way we think of things, change the way we look at things, and it's going to make us behave in a different manner. When we have the proper direction and we have proper faith, it helps us to see beyond human reasoning. God opens our minds and we go, humanly, that's not possible. With God, all things are possible. Humanly, I don't understand how I'm going to be a spirit being and I'm going to be given power. And God says, all things are going to be given to the freedom and liberty of the children of God. Well, I don't know how that's going to happen. But God begins to show you, it begins to explain how it's going to take place and why it's going to happen. But it takes away deceptions, it takes away misunderstandings when you have a true and proper faith. Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. doesn't say faith comes by having your own personal perspective of things. No, it comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And God begins to change the mind. He begins to open it up. And it says, hearing by the Word of God. God's perspective is different. And we are developing that. We're developing the mind of Christ. But it takes time, and it takes the ability to go, is my perception right? Is my perspective, is the way I'm looking at it right? Before making decisions, before establishing something solid within our minds. Some today have a view of sinners or people who sin, and that they should get what they deserve. We see things on the news and we're like, oh, that guy's got the death penalty, he deserves that. I hope he gets what he has coming. And that is a perspective that many people have. What is God's perspective? Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. We know that God wants all to come to repentance. But how do we view those who are sinning around us? It goes back to the age old, do we hate the sin or do we hate the sinner? Luke chapter 13 and verse 1. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will also likewise perish. He said, you see what they're doing and you think of them in a bad way, but unless you repent, you're in the same boat. Or the 18 on whom the tower of Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that they were worse sinners than all the men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you're also going to likewise die. He laid it on the line that we all sin, and unless sin is repented of, your fate's not going to be any different, better or worse than others. Google defines perspective as a particular attitude toward or a way of regarding something. It's your point of view, your paradigm. Your perception can be thrown off. You can say, well, no, my perspective is real. The way I look at it, I've always looked at it that way. And that may be true. And it may have been off. You always looked at it off. Or it can be changed for the better because of your perspective. You change your perspective and your perception begins to change and you realize, oh, I wish I would have done this a long time ago. I was not looking at this in a right way. It can change one or the other. There's a quote by Robert White. It may come as a severe shock if you haven't given much thought to this subject before, but our precious cast in stone objective beliefs are often totally in contrast to any reality. He says more accurately, they are our perception of reality rather than reality itself. We can think, well, I know what the world is like. I know what I'm living in. But that's a perception of reality. Because you talk to some and they go, oh, we've got decades before Christ is going to return because it's not that bad. You talk to others and they go, it is so bad right now. Christ could return at any time. Two different perspectives of looking at the same thing. Two different perceptions. And it's going to affect the way each individual lives. If one says he could come at any time, they're going to most likely live their life different than we've got decades. We've got time on our hands. Karen Hall, PhD, stated in Psychology Today, thinking we are right in our perceptions may be an illusion. From August 30th, 2012. One of the choices you have when faced with a problem is to change your perception of the problem. You know, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. You have to change your perspective of the problem or perception of the problem. People sometimes resist altering their perceptions, believing that they are right in what they see, hear, and remember. I am right. I'm not going to change from it. I'm not going to look at it differently. I know I'm right. Very dangerous place to be. The truth is that your perceptions are often inaccurate, particularly in emotionally charged situations. You think differently when you're emotionally charged. And I think most of us could probably associate with that and recognize that. So one way of being more open to changing your perceptions is to consider the ways your perceptions may be inaccurate. Now, we examine ourselves before the Passover, and we look at the scriptural perspective of examining ourselves. But when it goes back to it, just as sin beginning in the mind, we have to think and look at, what are my thoughts formed around? What is my objective? What is my focus in life? Do I have a right perspective, and do I have right perceptions that form my direction in life? Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" That's not just, oh, it's the heart of the world. Our hearts, the old man has a way of climbing back up. The heart is deceitful above all things. And you can trick yourself into believing your own personal perception of things, and it can be wrong. But God knows the heart, and He reveals it. And sometimes we can easily deceive ourselves because we're not willing to step back and say, is my perspective wrong? Do I need to change the way I'm looking at it? Take an honest look at everything and how it affects a situation. Jeremiah 17:10 says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his way, according to the fruit of his doing." When we have the proper perspective, we're going to ask God to give us His perspective. We're going to ask Him to show us where we're wrong. Show us where our thinking is wrong. The problem is that people often don't want to know. Well, if I ask that, God may give it to me. I don't want to change the way I think. I don't want to change my perception of the way things are. They don't want to know. If we're honest with ourselves, we realize that sometimes we look at a situation in our own particular way, that we're unwilling to budge, unwilling to move. And then later, we realize that we were wrong in the way that we viewed it. It's especially true if we're in a heated conversation or a dispute with someone. As it says earlier, when an argument or something gets heated, if it's emotionally charged, you think in a different way than if you stepped back, looked at it calmly, looked at it from a different perspective. Our perspective may change our perception of what is being said or what is being done. And again, at that point, we step back and gather information. We can't allow emotion to control our perspective of things. But rather, with God's Holy Spirit, when you begin to use that Spirit and you begin to take advantage of having the mind of God available to us, we have the spirit of self-control, to be able to control the thoughts, to control our ideas. And it brings us into a different perspective. We think about where the other person may be coming from. Oh, they're hurt. What is causing their hurt? And sometimes it can be a misperception. Sometimes it could be a different perspective. Individuals say, well, I've walked by them 3 Sabbaths and they have not said hello to me. And the person says, I didn't even see them at church that day. Or, you know, I'm not willingly and knowingly making that decision. I didn't know that they wanted me to stop and say hi. But to one, no, it's deep, it hurts. But if you start finding out, oh, I didn't know you felt that way. No, I'm not doing anything to hurt you. I'll try to make a point of stopping and saying hello. Think about where the other person is coming from. Consider the factors that brought you to where you are. If it's doctrinal, look at the Word of God instead of what you feel is right. What is the purpose of looking at these two particular words today? It is learning to manage the way we view things, our perspective. And then in turn, the way we perceive things, how it affects us, how it changes our thinking. It's to understand that the way we see things in the mind's eye, not just physically see things, as we've seen today, looking at different things from a different angle, we realize we don't all view it the same way. But to bring every thought into captivity and every thought into subjection. running through your mind, asking the questions, proving through logic and proving through the Word of God what is true, what is right. There's a lot to perception and perspective. I could have given two or three sermons on this. It affects our relationships, it affects our jobs and our careers, it affects doctrine and the way we look at the Word of God. It affects our view of the world. It affects how we view the plan of God. Each of us don't have the same perspective or even the same perception of what's ahead. Talking to individuals, they perceive and think about things in a different way. As a child, I thought about the millennium, about animals. Oh, I get to have this certain pet. I get to have this, and I can go out and play with snakes, and they won't hurt me. As an adult, that's not, well, it may be. Maybe that's still what you think about. It'd be nice to have certain animals. But your perspective and your perception of the kingdom of God in the millennium changes, and you go, oh, there's a lot more than the nature animals changing. Affects our perspective of life. A changed perspective can change our perception. And a changed perception can lead to a changed life. And again, that is what God is seeking. He's seeking for us to become something new, to be changed. And by His Spirit, God opens our minds to be able to see what cannot be seen and to hear what cannot be heard. The challenge is to overcome. We overcome the human tendency to trust in our own feelings or trust in our own emotions. And we have to overcome that, because often emotions and feelings are wrong. We have to overcome trusting in our own perspective and perception. Overcome trusting and relying on ourselves instead of relying on God. Again, the fears that come in. Deuteronomy 29, verse 2 says, Moses called on Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants, and to all his land." We sang about that in our hymn this morning. "The great trials which your eyes have seen, and the signs and those great wonders." He said, you had a firsthand perspective of everything that was going on. "Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive, eyes to see, and ears to hear to this very day." They saw, they had a perspective of what was going on, but they could not perceive what God was doing. Although it was not given to the children of Israel, God can and does give you and I a heart to perceive. But it is only by His Spirit and only by the ability to have God's perspective.